Welcome to CWH and our classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. Today we will hear from Dad about living according to the teachings of the Bible and developing in spiritual maturity in today's message, How Do We Grow Spiritually? God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy when the weekend comes around and we can come to your house or your home or your tent or your cave or I don't know where you live. And it really doesn't matter because we're all focused on one thing, and that's the dear Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And he's right now at the throne of God, seated at the right hand of God. And when we worship him, we come right to his feet and worship the wonderful Savior. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can just have that. You can pray right during the service and say, Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I don't want to die in my sins. And just say, Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from them the best I can, and I'll follow you all my life. Just in your own words, tell them that. I was 10 years old, I did that. That's 85 years ago. Praise God, he's never left me, and he never will. Well, I want to read some letters. We get such wonderful letters, and we're going to be thinking today about becoming a better Christian. And I know you're all interested in that. But let me give you a couple of the letters we get. Here's one from Paramus, New Jersey, and said, You said if you don't love Jesus, it is because you don't know him. That is true. I'm learning to know Jesus. Every time I know a little more, I love him more. That's exactly right, exactly right. And somebody says, oh, I don't love Jesus. Well, you don't know him. You don't have any idea what he's like. And if you ask him to come into your heart and he wants to come, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, if any person opens that door, I will come in. I'll come into his life. And I'll never leave him. I'll never forsake him. And when he comes to the end of life, I'll take his hand and take him home, lead him through the valley of the shadow of death into the glorious and wonderful city of God. Oh, my goodness, my dear Lord, how can you beat that? And so you just have to make that prayer. And then if you do, while you watch us at the close of the service, I'm going to give our address and we'll send you literature. Get started in the Christian life. But this text is exactly right. The more you know Jesus, the more you love him. Now, here's a letter from Arvada, Colorado. You said this past Sunday you were 95. Well, I'm only 73, and I do mean only. As long as we have a faith and believe what God says, we can be youthfully productive for the Lord. And this is a lady, and she hasn't hit the nail on the head. You see, just because I'm 95 doesn't mean I can't serve the Lord. I can't get up and run races and things like that anymore. And I never was a bull rider, but I had to give up bull riding. I couldn't do that. But I can preach and I can pray. And I don't care if you're on a bed of sickness. I don't know if you're a paraplegic. And I've heard two people are paraplegics that worship with us. You can pray. You have time to pray. And you can witness about Jesus. And look at what God says in Psalm 92, verse 14. This is what God says. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And flourishing and fresh. 95 and I'm flourishing and fresh. Fresh. It's not my body. It's deteriorating. It's going to pieces. But that inner person, that spirit of Christ, and that spiritual life becomes stronger. And so I'm not getting closer to the grave. I'm getting closer to heaven. That's what I'm looking forward to. So no matter who you are, and I don't care what you are, you can serve Jesus flat on your back. And that's what you ought to do. And you young people, you can serve Jesus in your youth. Talk to other young people. Tell them what Jesus means to you if you've accepted him as Savior. Of course, if you haven't accepted him, you won't know what you're talking about. But because you can't give away something you don't have. But you ask him to come into your life. He wants to come in, and he'll come into your life. And then you can tell him, he gave me peace. And I'm trusting him, and I don't know who I'm going to marry. And I don't know what profession I'm going to be in. But I know he has a plan for my life. And I love Jesus, and he's going to help me. That's what I did. I accepted him when I was 10 years old. And I wondered who would I marry. And there a lady came along, Beulah. And she was the most beautiful, wonderful lady in the world. And I was with her 59 and a half years. And then God took her home. See? So, whatever age you are, you can be flourishing in the Lord. Well, here's one more letter that I want to share with you. And that's from Gardner, Massachusetts. It says, may God bless your ministry and may you use this tithe to honor Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Please keep me in prayer for our God to one day open these prison doors and set me free. We hear from so many prisons. There's a federal prison that we hear from. We hear from 14 different people in that prison. And so when you give to this ministry, we're ministering to these people. And if they need a new testament, we send them a New Testament. We put them on our mailing list. We have a little Bible study called The New Song, and it's a little Bible study. And we send that to them free and postpaid. And so you pray for people in prison and pray that they can be a witness for Jesus, shine for Jesus in prison, and win people to the Lord. Well, we want to look at a sermon today entitled, How We Can Grow Spiritually. And I know we're all interested in that. We want to grow in the Lord. And so, you know, when we are born again, we start out as little babies. And St. Peter talks about them in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye tasted, that the Lord is gracious. And so when we enter the family of God as a tiny little baby, and we feed on the milk of the word, but just a little baby feeds on milk, not beefsteak, but that little baby grows and eats more and more, and it becomes strong and eats strong meat. And so Peter says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. That should be our aim. That's what we're talking about today. So what is spiritual growth? And a lot of times there's misunderstanding here. For instance, spiritual growth doesn't have a thing to do with God's favor, because God loves us whether we grow or not. You may be a 50-year-old baby spiritually, but God loves you. So it doesn't make a bit of difference if we grow or not. God still loves us. Our spiritual growth doesn't have a bit of thing to do with time. I've had people, I've been in the ministry 73 years. And sometimes people say, well, 73 years, you ought to be able to preach better than that. I said, boy, you ought to have heard me when I started. But I know 73 years, I've had people that have been Christians. How long have you known the Lord? How long have you been a Christian? 50 years, and he's a big old baby. He gets upset about the dumbest little things. He's thin-skinned. He pouts around. And he's just a zero. He's still a little sad little baby, and you want to cry over him. Time doesn't mean a thing, because there are some young people that shine for Jesus, are just beautiful, and they haven't been saved but a couple of years, and they shine beautiful for the Lord. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with knowledge. You may have a lot of facts about the Bible. And I know one man, he read the Bible and he studied the Bible. And you'd think he read the Bible 10 times through, he said. He knew so much about the Bible. And yet he sure didn't show it in his life. He was stingy. He was touchy. He went to places. He lived a life that wasn't honoring to the Lord. You couldn't count on him for nothing, and except for him to cause a little problem here and a big problem here and there. And he read the Bible, knew. Let me tell you a little secret, friends. The devil knows more about the Bible than you and I'll ever know. He knows it backwards and forward, and he's on the way to hell, and he's going to be in hell. And so just because you read the Bible so much doesn't mean that you're that you're growing in the Lord. Or spiritual growth has nothing to do with activity. Maybe you're busy, busy, busy. And you're doing this and everything, and you're working your head off. You're like, you remember Mary and Martha? And Jesus says to Martha, Martha, you're too worried about doing the things while Mary sits at my feet and worships me. And so you can be, pastors can be busy and never even know the Lord. Billy Graham has instances where pastors come to Jesus. Say, I didn't really know Jesus. I knew about him, but I never had him in my heart. So this matter of being busy. Or sometimes, a lot of times people say, well, he's sure a good Christian because look how God's blessed him. He's got a big car, a great big car, twice the size of a big steamship practically, a huge car. He's got a home that all looks like a castle. It looks like, well, I thought it was a motel. And he's got a big car. He's got a big house. He's got a nice job. He's got lots of money. Boy, he must be a good Christian. Don't fall for that stuff. That doesn't mean a thing. God may have prospered you, and if he has, good and well, and I congratulate you. And there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. Don't get that in your head. There's nothing wrong with it if you handle it right to the glory of God and it doesn't become your master. So I'm not putting down the rich. Don't get me wrong. But just because you have a lot of things doesn't mean that you're such a great and godly Christian. You don't believe me? Well, listen about this. Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Jesus Christ was perfect. He was our model, and he didn't have any worldly goods. And so just because you may be blessed and you may have a lot doesn't mean that you're a great Christian and that you're really born again Christian. And so what is spiritual growth? Well, it simply means this. It means living according to the teachings of the Bible. That's it. That's it. Living according to the teachings of the Bible. Spiritual maturity means that it makes us more like Jesus. Spiritual maturity means it makes us easier to live with. Spiritual maturity means more loving and gentle and kind. Spiritual maturity means less gossipy. Spiritual maturity gives us a burden for the lost and those on the way to hell, and we want to bring them, stop them and bring them to Jesus. It makes us more sensitive to the needs of others. Spiritual maturity means that we're careful about the feeling of other people. It means that we're more cooperative and we're supportive. Spiritual maturity makes us like Christ. So it follows then, we become mature when we become like Christ. We become more mature when we become like God, when we follow his principles. And so God gives us revelation to help us to see there is a God and the greatness of God and what he wants us to do. And it comes in two ways. You have natural revelation and you have special revelation. Natural revelation is the creation about us. And if you can look at a sunset, and if you can look at the mountains, and if you can look at a beautiful flower blooming and think there isn't such a thing as a God, you're a dodo of the worst kind. How can these things be unless there is a great and wonderful God? At the nighttime, to see those stars, millions and billions of stars, and look at the wonderful God there is, and look at the sky and the moon, and look at a storm, and look at a blizzard, and look at a tornado, and you see the power of God. There is a God. And so that, and everything around us cries to the existence of God. St. Paul writes in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is, we see God's power and planning and precision and perfection in nature and all about us. And we are forced to see God in nature. But it hasn't told us what God hasn't revealed God to us. And so we don't know about the love of God. And we don't know about the wisdom of God. And so we have what we call special revelation. Natural revelation, creation around us. Special revelation, and that is the Holy Word of God, the Bible. And there's only one inspired book, and that's from God. And all we need to know about God is revealed in that special revelation called the Bible. And that Bible tells us about God himself. And it tells us about God's mercy, and it tells us about God's grace, and it tells us about God's love, and it tells us how sin can be forgiven. It tells us about the sacrifice of Christ. It talks about the church. It tells about salvation. It's all a special revelation. It's specific, and it's accurate to details. It speaks clearly to the point. It uses precise words. It selects exact every word perfectly. And not only things spiritual, because it's a spiritual book, but even the Bible is 100% accurate in it has a few scientific statements, and they're all exactly 100%. For instance, and this is the given before man ever knew it. Well, there was a time they said that the earth was flat, and if you were careful, you'd fall off of it. That's what they taught in the colleges and then in the schools of the land. But the Bible says thousands of years before that, Isaiah said that God sitteth on the circle of the earth, that the earth is round. They didn't know that. The Bible knew that. Took thousands of years later for them to discover, well, it is round. God was right. Or the earth is suspended in space. And they used to teach for centuries. They said that the world rested on the back of a huge turtle. Or maybe in some cases it would be the Greek god Atlas. And he's holding up on his shoulders. But you know what Job said 3,000 years ago? He says he hangeth the world on nothing. That's the Bible. How'd the Bible know that? It's the Word of God, the Word of the living God. Another thing the Bible teaches is that the stars cannot be numbered. Hundreds of years before Christ, it was taught that there were about 2,000 stars in what they called the dome of space. Well, then centuries later, they recomputed it, and they said it was they could count 400 million stars. Now, today, the astronomers agree with Jeremiah, who told us hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the stars cannot be numbered. Jeremiah 33, verse 22. And it tells us something else where they used to laugh at the Bible and say the Bible was wrong because God says, and he says, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. He says you can compare the stars and the sand in number. And they used to say you cannot because we know that there are 400 million stars and you don't know how much sand there is. Well, you don't know how empty their head is too. Because God tells us that long before he put the two together and now they find out the science is telling us, and the astronomers are telling us, that you cannot number the stars. They're numberless. The galaxies and billions of stars. It's impossible to count them. But you want to know something that'll take your breath away? Psalms 147, verse 4. Look at here. Listen. God determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. He names every star. He's got a name for every star. That's my God. I rejoice in that wonderful God Almighty, and I praise his name, and I'm trusting him and his wonderful Bible. There wouldn't be any possible way for these people to know these things. Oh, there's so many things we could talk. Well, let me just mention quickly one other thing, and that is that the life is in the blood. Now, Moses writes in Leviticus 17, verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, they didn't believe that until 1615, the year A.D. 1615, and a man, William Harvey, of the scientific community. They said, it's amazing. The life is in the blood. They didn't know that until 1615 A.D. And God knew it thousands of years before. How could that be? Well, if you don't believe the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, you're denser than a fence post. And I was raised on a farm, and a dense fence post is pretty dense. I don't understand why people don't come running to God and say, oh, that is true. That's the wonderful Word of God. I am so glad I'm going to open my heart and I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ and follow him. I don't understand it. So it is true. Every scientific fact recorded in the Bible is true. It's exactly the way the Bible says. Now, Bible is a book of theology. It's a book about the spirituality. But whenever it has any science in it, it is exactly right on, spot on. And remember this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. That can be translated. All scripture is God-breathed. And so we come to this wonderful Savior, and we believe it, yes, this is your Bible. And we get our spiritual growth by reading the Bible. Now, let me tell you some things about reading the Bible. Read the Bible prayerfully. When you're going to go to read the Bible, and before you pray, before you read the Bible, I always do this. I say, Dear Lord, well, the psalmist put it like this, Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So we're saying, Dear God, help me to see what you want me to see. Open my eyes to things spiritual, and the Holy Spirit will help you as you read that Bible and study it and read about and look at it. Read the Bible prayerfully, and then read the Bible carefully. St. Paul admonishes us, and he says, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open that Bible and study every word and see who he's talking to. Sometimes he talks to Israel. Sometimes he talks to the church. Sometimes he talks to the Gentile. Sometimes he talks to the Christian. Sometimes he talks to the unsaved. Sometimes he talks to another age. So just read it and God will show you and you'll understand. And you'll say, and you'll apply it rightly. You can apply the Bible. You can teach anything out of the Bible. Well, I read about a fellow the other day, and he had his devotions, but he was very busy. So he didn't have time to read a chapter from the Bible. He read a verse, one verse. And the way he did it for his devotions, he went to the Bible and he opened it up and he didn't look. He just put his finger down there. And then whatever that verse was, that was his verse. So here comes a day and he's got the blues. He's not too happy. I better get my verse. So he opens up his Bible and he put his finger on there and then he read it and it says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. That's about the last thing he needed. And he panicked and he shut the Bible and he opened it again and he put it again. And this time he put it on red letters. That means it's the words of Jesus. And he reads it. And it says, go thou and do likewise. He is in trouble, big trouble. And panicked, he closes the Bible and opens it, and he puts his finger as fast as he can, and he's in luck. It's red letter. It's a word of Jesus. And it says, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. Now, that's what you get out of the Bible. And that's the way some people read it, and they'll quote the Bible, and they'll quote some off verse that doesn't apply to them at all or to the situation at all. I had a young man come in one day, and he says, Pastor, I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving you, and I'm going to Texas. Well, I said, what? What's in Texas? You going to school there? No, he says, I read the Bible today in my devotions, and it says for me, it says to go south. And that's for me, he says, so I'm going to go south. So he went south. I never saw him again. He may still be going south. I don't know where he's going. See, you know, idiots know better than that. And so when you read it carefully. What is he talking to? Read the context and study it. And then read the Bible quietly. Meditate on the Word of God. Give it time to soak in. Read it personally. Don't read it and say, oh, boy, my wife, she needs to see that. Oh, the kids need to see that. Or the pastor needs to see that. You need to see that, bozo. And forget about the others and let it talk to you. Read it every day. Read the Bible every day. Fight for the time and be obedient to the Word of God. And so does the Bible say. What does it teach? Well, for instance, it teaches in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, God's saying right now. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Jesus, he's talking to you right now, the living word of the living God. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so he wants you to come. And then he tells us, goes on to tell us in John 1, verse 12, Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You are not a child of God until you receive Jesus. And you say, I don't know, how do I receive Jesus? And you say, that's simply this. You just say, dear Jesus, how do you receive anybody? If they knock on your door, you say, come in. You say, Jesus, come into my life. Take away my sin, and I'll follow you and serve you the best I can. Now, if you make that prayer, you write to us, and we'll send you literature to get you started. Christian, and I'm going to put it on the screen here, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write to us, we'll send you some literature. If you've drifted away from the Lord, you come back. If you want to send a gift, then we really need to have your help. You need to help us. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so that's all covered. So we're just looking to you and trusting you. Now we're going to pray. And every time we pray for the persecuted church. So we're praying for the persecuted church in Saudi Arabia. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people that are opening their heart to you right now and others that are coming back home. And now, Lord, we're all praying for the church in Saudi Arabia. Some of them put to death, some of them being destitute, and just bless and help them and help us to be knowing that, Lord, we need to stand up for you too, just like they are. And to those on beds of sickness, Lord, and those who are shut-ins, help them to know you're with them and was said you'd never leave them or forsake them. And to the young people struggling, help them. And we'll just praise you and thank you because we know you love us. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that the final word's going to be you're going to have it. And when we are centered in you, we're safe forever in Jesus' name. So we hope that you'll write to us. We need to hear from you and those in the shortwave radio. We just pray for you, love to hear from you. So now we're going to be trusting the Lord. And next week we're going to gather again if the Lord tarries. Maybe he'll come back this week. He's going to return one of these days. And when he does, won't that be something? The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised and all the rest will join the Lord in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone. And you pray for us and we pray for you. And next week, Lord willing, Lord doesn't come, we'll be back. Take care and God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.